Radio Prague News.
The police won't send the Lower House's Immunity Committee copies of their file against two Anno MPs. The first round of presidential elections will take place on January 12th and 13th, and a restored version of the movie Black Peter will receive its premiere in Venice. The police aren't willing to send members of the Lower House's Mandates and Immunity Committee copies of their file against the Anno MPs Andrei Babiš and Jaroslav Faltinek, who are accused of the abuse of EU subsidies. However, committee members will be able to read the file at a Prague police station, the committee's chair, Miroslava Nemcova, said on Wednesday. The Anno deputies are accused of illicitly acquiring around 50 million crowns in EU grants in connection with the Stork's Nest farm and hotel. At the time, it was owned by Mr. Babiš's firm Agrofert, but the party boss denies any wrongdoing. The first round of Czech presidential elections is set to take place on January 12th and 13th next year. The Speaker of the Senate, Milan Štěch, announced the date on Wednesday. Among the candidates for the post is the current head of state, Miloš Zeman, lyricist Michal Horáček and Jiří Drahoš, a former head of the Academy of Sciences. The incumbent, Mr. Zeman, says that he's fully respectful of the right of Senate Speaker Štěch to set those dates for the first round of presidential elections. Communicating through a spokesperson, Mr. Zeman said he himself had announced dates for October's general elections with time to spare. The Czech Republic has handed over to the German authorities a Vietnamese citizen wanted in Germany on espionage charges, the Czech news agency reported. The man, who's 46, has permanent residence here in the Czech Republic. Earlier this month, the German state prosecutor issued an international warrant for the arrest of the man, who's accused of being part of a group that kidnapped two Vietnamese people in Berlin on the orders of Vietnamese agents. Tram makers Škoda Transportation want to hold talks with the authorities in Warsaw after the Polish city cancelled a lucrative contract won by the Czech firm. Hospodarskie Noviny reported on Wednesday that the order was for over 200 trams at a value of 16.6 billion crowns. The newspaper said Warsaw had cancelled the tender as it didn't have the funds to cover the contract. A restored version of the classic Miloš Forman movie Black Peter will receive its premiere at the Venice Film Festival on the 4th of September. Representatives of the National Film Archive, which has restored Black Peter, said they'd consulted Forman and the film's assistant director, Ivan Passer, during the process. Viktoria Pilsen have travelled to Cyprus for a Europa League qualifying game against local club AEK Larnaca on Thursday night. The Czech League champions fell behind in the home leg of that tie last week, but went on to win 3-1. The weather now, it should be partly cloudy with some sunny spells on Thursday, with temperatures of up to 27 degrees Celsius expected. Daytime highs will then rise, getting up to the low 30s Celsius at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Danielle Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the dates for the presidential elections have been officially announced. A scan has revealed some of the secrets of an ancient statuette, the precious Venus of Jestonice. And later on, how do Czech farmers feel about the EU's farming policy? All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czechs have learnt the dates when the second direct presidential elections in the country's history will be held. The official announcement on Wednesday should concentrate minds and act as a spur to the host of candidates already declared. Chris Johnston reports.
Před několika minutami jsem podepsal rozhodnutí předsedy Senátu.
Head of the upper house, the Senate, Milan Štěch, announcing early Wednesday the date for the first round of presidential elections for January the 12th and 13th. It's more or less a copy of the scenario 5 years earlier. A second round has to be held 2 weeks later as a face-off between the two top-scoring candidates if no one gets more than 50% of support in the first round. A first-round outcome is reckoned to be pretty unlikely. Senate leader Stech has some wiggle room over the choice of date to call the election, though not much. The rules say that the vote should be held during the last 60 days of the ongoing president's mandate and be wrapped up at least within a month of that deadline being reached. Stech explained why he declared the date so early this time round.
I took this decision sooner than 5 years ago during the first direct elections. The reason is that many candidates are already known, and it's possible to say that the campaign is already running. We have a newly created body for overseeing the financing of political parties and movements, and that can fully start to carry out its responsibility following this declaration.
The Senate Speaker added that he wanted to declare the presidential election date as far away as possible from the elections to the lower house of parliament due to take place at the end of October. Indeed, the presidential election campaign is already up and running in all but name. Three candidates have already declared that they have collected the 50,000 signatures needed under one of the entry criteria. Those are current head of state Miloš Zeman, lyricist Michal Horáček and Jiří Drahos, a former head of the Academy of Sciences. Two other candidates, ODS Senator Jaroslav Kubera and the former head of cabinet of ex-Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok, Karel Štogl, say they have received enough support via the alternative qualification route, support from members of parliament, to qualify for the race. And there are around half a dozen other candidates, including the former head of carmaker Škoda Auto, who've declared but are still seeking sufficient support. So far, it's an almost entirely male field, with just one woman so far declaring her candidacy, actress Jana Ingland Hruškova. The deadline for registration for the campaign is November the 7th. Whatever the state of the field, most experts would probably concur that there are two main entities in the race so far, incumbent Miloš Zeman and the rest. The real battle on the horizon is likely to be between candidates to raise their profile and whip up enough public support to challenge the current head of state and fancied frontrunner in the second round.
Chris Johnson with that report. Moving on now, it is exactly 1 year ago when the Venus of Dolní Věstonice, a ceramic statuette of a naked woman, believed to be 29,000 years old and considered one of the oldest artefacts of its kind in the world, went under a detailed scan in a special 3D microscope. Now, historians from the Moravian Museum in Brno have presented the first scan results so far. Ruth Frankova has the details.
The special microscope located in Brno's FEI Technological Institute was able to map all the particles within the statue in microscopic resolution, providing the researchers with around 8 gigabytes of data. Now, exactly a year after the priceless artifact went under the scan, they have presented an analysis of the first findings. One of the biggest discoveries was that the shapely 11-centimeter figurine was not made of two or more pieces of clay, as it was initially expected, but was evidently created from one single piece. Historians also discovered more details about the composition of the statuette. Petr Neruda is a curator at the Moravian Museum in Brno, who took part in the research.
I found that inside the body are impurities, and these impurities are distributed very randomly. That indicates that the creator of the statuette took the sediment just on the spot where he created the Venus. If you imagine the site at the time, there was a lot of charcoals, fragments of bones, Manon's ivory, and these impurities were not added to the sediment with a special meaning. It's really natural contamination of the clay.
Scientists at the Moravian Museum have also confirmed an earlier hypothesis of Karel Absolon, the historian who discovered the Venus of Dolní Věstonice. He believed the statue's head was originally ornamented with four feathers. Petr Neruda again.
I used a digital technology and I created 3D models of these holes. And now it's quite clear that all were produced by one tool with a relatively sharp tip. And it resembles the point of the bird's feathers. And it's quite interesting because Karel Absalon thought that the Venus had features on the head. Now I want to print these 3D models in 3D printer and compare it with birds, and maybe we will know which species was used or something like this.
The ceramic figure was discovered in South Moravia in July 1925. The statuette, broken in two pieces, was found amongst the remnants of a prehistoric fire pit once used by mammoth hunters. Although many similar figures have been found since then, Venus of Dolny Vjestonice has not lost any of its value. What makes it so unique is the fact that it was made by burning the clay, a technology commonly used only in the later Neolithic period. Analysis of the findings of the scan should continue until the end of the year, and Petr Neruda believes it might still bring to light some unexpected facts. Nevertheless, some questions, such as who created the statue or what its purpose was, will likely remain unanswered despite the latest state-of-the-art technologies.
Ruth Franková with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature marketplace. It's pretty clear that European agriculture is bracing itself for a further wave of reform, which will trim and reshape the famed common agricultural policy. But early discussions on what form the reforms should take have already highlighted deep divides between Czech farmers and the Czech agriculture ministry. Chris Johnston has more.
The Czech Republic's agricultural showpiece event of the year, Living Land, begins in the South Bohemian city of České Budějovice on August the 24th and continues on till August the 29th. Several of the seminars there will deal with immediate problems, such as a drought-hit harvest this year and the difficulty of finding farm labour. They will also focus on future problems of a man-made and natural character. These include climate change and the changes being proposed to the Europe's Common Agricultural Policy, the CAP, the main Europe-wide mechanism for directing what Europe's farmers grow, how they do it, and what payments they receive. Largely French-inspired and framed to benefit French farmers, the CAP has evolved since the early 1960s and already been subject to several waves of reforms, with gradually more complex incentives introduced than simple payments and support for crops produced. The broad policy, while ensuring EU food surpluses and a surplus of exports, has frequently come under attack for distorting trade, undermining developed countries, and simply being too big and expensive. One basic figure stands out. Around 40% of the EU budget is spent on agriculture, although it employs only around 5% of the population. That, as well as the realities of Brexit, with one major paymaster in the form of the United Kingdom being taken out of the EU equation, has fuelled a new round of discussions about the shape of future EU farm support after 2020. Brexit, as well as taking away a large slice of funding, will also remove a country with an agricultural profile very similar to the Czech one. Large farms and a concentrated and efficient agricultural sector counting for less than 3% of the economy. Farm sizes are also very similar, with more than two-thirds of farms in the mid-sized or large category. The average Czech farm size is 133 hectares, compared with the EU 28 average of just 16.1 hectares. That means a large part of the Czech sector is a long way from the proliferation of small farm holdings in the likes of regional neighbours Poland and Hungary, which makes a regional Central European stand on agriculture reform very problematic indeed. While nothing is yet decided, the direction of proposed reforms to the CAP appears to favour smaller farmers and looks like it's created a rift within the Czech farming sector between the broad-based grouping, the Agricultural Chamber, and the Association for Private Farmers in the Czech Republic. Jaroslav Šebek is secretary of that Association for Private Farmers and outlines where the broad talks on reform have got so far and what its position is.
Zatím je to ty přípravy toho té nové společné zemědělské politiky.
Preparations for a new common agricultural policy are basically at the starting point. In the spring of this year, talks started with non-government organizations at the invitation of the Ministry of Agriculture. From this, first positions were taken. The ministry has taken account of them, and today, the government. The ministry came up with a sort of framework, a sort of concept, which it wants to use during talks in Brussels. The Czech Republic is looking there to basically refuse any form of capping. We think this is really stupid and a big mistake, because the Czech Republic is giving up its chance to take part in a necessary reworking and reshaping of the agriculture sector and countryside. We believe that it's necessary to take advantage of the type of support structure which the European Union is offering, and that it simply has a preference for smaller scale family farms.
Prostě podniky rodinného typu, menší hospodářství a tak dále.
Capping refers to a ceiling on the direct support that EU farms could receive, a move which would probably hit the biggest farms. Indeed, the association has come up with its own proposal that this ceiling should be set at €150,000. That roughly works out, according to Czech conditions, to a size of farm at around 1,100 hectares. Above this level, there should be no direct support. To put it bluntly, the association argues that the Czech Ministry of Agriculture has started out by trying to defend indefensible positions, and that it would be much better to go with the EU flow and try to exert its influence where possible. Jaroslav Šebek again.
Ta současná pozice, kterou ministerstvo zemědělství jaksi.
The current position that's being taken by the Agriculture Ministry goes in directly the opposite direction. We think this is fatally flawed and won't succeed. The pressure on the EU budget is clear. There are many other challenges out there from the likes of the digital world, immigration, transport security, and so on. These are significant challenges. If the agriculture sector wants to succeed in keeping the 40% of the total EU budget that it's had up till now, it has to offer something to the wider public in the countryside. It's clear that increasing payments to an ever smaller number of agricultural entities won't do that.
Na čím dál tím menší počet zemědělských subjektů.
The Association of Private Farmers shies away from talk about the Czech agricultural sector being split between the representatives of big and small-sized farms. The Agricultural Chamber, which says it broadly backs the Agriculture Ministry's position, says the Association of Private Farmers primarily supports and represents smaller family farms. The Chamber reckons it speaks for a broad section, including the bigger farms, and represents around three quarters of Czech agricultural land and three quarters of those employed in agriculture. And while the small versus big cliche is dismissed, it nonetheless appears to have some force. Jaroslav Šebek admits that big farms could lose out more if the general lines of agricultural reform hold their course over the next year or so.
No, my si myslíme, že samozřejmě to způsobí nebo může způsobit.
We're aware that this could create a certain number of problems. The thing is that when we're talking about European Union money, we're still talking about taxpayers' money, and the goal should be that some broader public benefit is served. The money should be used in such a way that a wider public is served. To put it bluntly, these big agricultural firms that have 10,000 or 30,000 hectares don't fulfill any wider public interest. Quite the opposite is true. They bring much greater risks. There are big problems caused by erosion by water and wind, and the area is not farmed in a way that respects the natural features of the landscape, and which helps to preserve the mix of plants and natural diversity of species and such like.
The Private Farmers Association sometimes goes further in describing the tunnelling of the Czech countryside. That phrase describes the fact that very large agricultural groups can be spread over vast tracts of land, covering many local council areas and getting grants and support far and wide. But the seat of the group could be far away, perhaps in a town or city, with the local tax payments being made there and not in the local countryside. Yaroslav Shebek stressed the three fundamental tenets of the association position regarding what sort of farmers should be supported in the future.
Chtěli bychom v zásadě, stručně řešeno, podporovat dotacemi.
We basically want the support to go to young, small and start-up farmers. We think that these are groups that have the potential to develop in some way. They're also a burden in some way because of their small size. But to create these sorts of businesses, some sort of help is needed. We also want the European Union to push through one basic free form, and that is easing the administrative burdens for small farmers with an income of less than 5,000 euros. We don't think this would be a problem for any member states or affect them negatively, and it would help the businesses and employment in specific regions.
Jaroslav Shebek, Secretary of the Association of Private Farmers, ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnston. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. If you'd like to contact us, send a mail to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.